We're in a sermon series called Standing Strong, equipping ourselves for life, for life's battle. And today we find ourselves on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. By now we have studied Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 into 16. I would encourage you, if you're coming for the first time today, or this is the first time listening to this series, I encourage you to go back on the website and listen or download the church app and listen to the message there. And I think it is a standalone message today, but it's important for you to get the context. Ephesians chapter 16 says this. It's up there for you. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Let me read it again. In all circumstances, take up on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. How is your faith? How is your faith? I mean, we go on through life, and one of the things that we are proud of as Christians is that we have faith, right? That we have faith in God. But so many times we go through life and we're questioning ourselves, question our faith, and questions like, do I have enough faith? Is my faith strong? Have you ever gone through a circumstance in your own personal life where you have asked those questions? Have you ever had like a circumstances in your life that you're starting to question, do I have strong faith? Is my faith strong? I mean, I as a pastor, I'm often challenged in my own personal life, and I often asking myself, do I have strong faith? There are all kinds of circumstances that happens to us, and we rely on this word faith. And Jesus tells us in Matthew that if you have a faith as small as a what? A mustard seed, you will be able to move mountains. Well, the last time I look at a mountain and I say, move, the thing didn't move, right? So I'm kind of like, my faith might be not as strong as it needed to be. And Hebrews tells us that without faith, you cannot please God. There's no such a thing as pleasing God. It doesn't matter what you do. If there is no faith, you can't please God. Faith becomes then a very important aspect of the Christian faith. Wouldn't you agree with me? I remember, and I failed to say this in the first service, I remember different aspects of Lord in my life where we found ourselves falling short of a strong faith. I remember one time, Junior had a seizure for the first time. Most of you are aware of that situation in my life. Some of you do not know, but Sam Junior, my oldest son, has Rolandic epilepsy. And one day we wake up in the middle of the night, the kid is just doing his thing, right? And we didn't know what it was, and after a little while, he looked lifeless. I picked him up in my arms, and he was lifeless in my arm. And I look at my wife, and I look at Caleb, our second son, and I was like, holy smokes. The kid is dead, and I'm about to have a powwow with God. I remember one time being hungry, Laura and I. Junior was about 8 months. I was just telling this story early today. Junior about 8 months, and we were hungry. And, man, what was my fate then? Even a little thing, a simple thing as moving from one place to another, not too long ago, our faith was challenging. And we were looking at ourselves and looking around us and thinking, man, do I have enough faith in order to go through all circumstances? I love what Paul tells us, because he says, in all circumstances, as if he knows you and I well. Right? This guy wrote this book a few hundreds of years back, and he looks at us today and he says, in all circumstances. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God is telling you through his word, through the words of Paul, and he says, in all circumstances, it doesn't matter what's going on, in all circumstances, good or bad, terrible or wonderful, take up on the shield of faith. When I say all circumstances, what is that going on in your mind right now? Is that a good? Is that a bad? Is that a, what is it? I mean, and I think that's what makes the Bible so important and so crucial to Christian living, is that it tells words like these. It doesn't matter what's going on. If it is good or bad, you take on this shield of faith. If you don't hear any word or can't understand a word that comes out of my mouth, which is something that you do go through often, I want you to understand, to take this home with you, and you can write it down, please. It says this: faith is trusting in someone who has the answer we lack. Faith is trusting someone who has the answers we lack. Because reality is when we're going through difficult circumstances in our lives, what we want is answer. But answer is not what we need. It is just what we want. Paul tells us to pick up on this shield of faith. And it is like this a part of the Roman armor, right? So he's looking at a Roman armor and say, hey, there's this thing called shield. And this is important. It is a metaphor for us, right? He uses the shield as a metaphor. And we talk about metaphors all the time. We talk through metaphors all the time, don't we? Back in the first century, a writer or a teacher of the law, he could come up straight up and tell you exactly what he means, or he could tell you a metaphor, right? He could tell you like a metaphor of the things that he want to pass on to you. Can you hear me better now? Maybe. Right? But Paul uses a metaphor here, and he says, listen, take on the shield. And the shield was this big piece of wood. There was two pieces of wood glued together, and on the outside of that, there was leather, right? Why? Because it was important not only to protect you from the arrows, but the invisible aspect of the arrows. I don't know if you know this, but back in the day, arrows were not only about the visible aspect, but about the invisible aspect of it too. It hurt you two ways, visibly and invisibly. The visible part is the fact that you can see it coming. And when you see it coming, you put it on the shield, and the shield, the arrow would come, and most of the time would pierce through it, but not enough to hit you. But one of the things that we usually forget is that it's not only about the arrow coming and hitting your shield. It is that in the arrow, most of the time there was fire on it. They would get the tip of the arrow, put on the tar, or put some clothing in it, and then put some flammable aspect to it, light up on fire, and send it to you. And when it hit that shield, because the shield was made of wood, it would come, and most of the time the wood would be dry, it would come, hit the shield, and catch the shield on fire. Therefore, you could just protect yourself from one, maybe two, three arrows, but after that, you'll be done. So the Roman shield, they had some leather in the front, or canvas in the front. They'll keep it the fire from spreading through the shield, protecting people visibly and invisibly. And I love this metaphor that Paul uses, because he tells us that the shield of faith is something that protects you physically and spiritually, visibly and invisibly. But I love the fact that he uses metaphor, and we do it about that this all the time. Can you think of some metaphors that you use on your daily basis to convey a message to somebody? As someone who is learning English or continue to learn English, and when I first came to America, I remember having a conversation with someone, and the guy was like, yeah, she's flying by the seat of her pants. And I'm like, I saw the girl with the pants with wings on it flying it away. It's true story. I remember, you have all that. Like, I remember in Minnesota, people say it's like, the snowflakes are dancing. And I'm thinking, like, what in the world? These snowflakes are dancing. I didn't know that they were capable to do that. We do that with kids all the time. I have told you this 1,000 times. Oh, you have heard things like, she's a night owl, right? The heart of stone. We all say that to give like this, as a metaphor, to give it a message. And Paul is trying to, the word shield, to give us a message. And the message is this, is that the God, your creator, is your protector. He is asserting us that He is our shield, that He is our protector, that He is our defender. Paul, through this statement, he indicates to you and I that God is your defender. And he uses the word shield that indicates vividly that God stands between you and your enemies. He is the one absorbing all the blows that is keeping you alive and safe. I don't know what circumstances in your life you feel like it is consuming you right now. Let me tell you the reason why you're not consumed. Because your God, He is your shield, He is your defender, He is your protector. Because that's who God is. What we don't know sometimes is that the act of Jesus Christ in the cross of Calvary, it is an act of protection. Do you know that? We were supposed to die because of our sins, and Jesus Christ protects you and I through the pain, through the sufferings of the cross, so that you would live. Our God is a God of protection, of security. Paul wanted to convey a very important message to the Ephesians and for you and I today, that God, He stands between you and whatever is going on in your life that you think is going to destroy you. Scripture refers to God as our shield and protector in many different ways. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 1 says this. The Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. That's what Genesis tells us. Genesis tells us, Lord, the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And he says, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I am your shield. And your reward will be great. In Psalm 5, verse 12, says this, For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. That's God, that the Psalm's telling us, you cover him with favor as with shield. There's favor in hiding behind God. Proverbs 30, to one of my favorites, says this, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who takes refuge in Him. Listen, I don't know if you think that the Word of God is true or, you know, I don't know. You tell me. But if it is true, Proverbs chapter 35 is telling me that every Word of God proves to be true. It is testifying of it for you and I. Right? And it goes on and said, He is God. He is a shield to those who takes refuge in Him. So many times in our lives we feel vulnerable. We feel like that the circumstances is swallowing us up. And maybe it's because we are not appropriate of words like these in our own lives. It is a promise. It is a promise of God, protection, defense, security. It is a promise of God to you and I that comes through His Word. Do you believe that God is a God who protects you? Do you believe that God is the one who is between you and whatever is coming to destroy your life? We must keep this in mind when we consider Paul's call to take up on the shield of faith. That is trusting in God, lifting up our shield of faith, is to have confidence and rest in Him as our protector, as our defender. He is the one who keeps the assault of the enemy from destroying our lives. So to take up on the shield of faith is to rest in Christ Himself, who absorbs the blows of temptations that the enemy tried to infiltrate in our lives. And we'll come out of that victorious. Turning to Jesus, turning to God and relying on His protection is essentially telling the enemy and the world, I have someone who is powerful and He is for me, and through Him I will resist whatever you have to destroy me. So it's not about knowing that God is, there is all circumstances in life where we have God who protects us. And he protects us through this faith, right? It is like the shield of faith. It's not the shield of cloth. It's not the shield of whatever you might think. It is the shield of faith, right? There is an object to it. Faith is a word that we use at the church all the time. We're always talking about the word faith. It's in our vocabulary. We know it well. We know the context. We know how to use it well. Sometimes I don't think we know the fullness of the word, though. Right? I think we talk about it all the time. And sometimes when you talk about something so much, it loses its meaning to us. There are many biblical terms in the Bible who is not defined, and it is not, you know, like the Trinity. You know, you can't find the Trinity is, or even grace. It's like it's, you can't get a really defined word like verse for grace. It explains what it is, but there is no like a definition. But the faith is different. God gives us a definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It is up there for you. On Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, right? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, right? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But then here's the thing, like, here's the kicker, right? We like, oh, Sam, Pastor Sam, you're great. I mean, the word is defined right there. Faith is defined right there. And then I read the definition, and I'm like, I don't understand a word that is up there. Isn't that how it is? Right? Hope is the assurance of things hoped for. Wow, what in the world, right? The convictions of things not seen. That doesn't help me. How does this help me on my everyday life, Pastor Sam? So let me bring it down to you and I, because I am like you. Sometimes I read it and I need to like, man, I don't get this. I need to get it. So redefine it for you here. Let me take this word down a little bit so that we can understand better. So let me tell you, in other words, faith is a risking of the heart and the mind based on a reality that is beyond us. So faith is risking of the heart and mind that's based on a reality that is beyond us. This idea of being assured of things that is hoped for, right? It is both like as a time thing and a comprehension thing. When we think about hope, we think about future, right? So hope has to do with what is ahead of us. So what the author of Hebrews is telling us is that faith is this, have this assurance, this certainty in you, in your heart and in your mind of things that is ahead of you, that there is a better future, that there is better ahead of us. That's what hope is, right? You don't hope what happens in the past for what happened in the past. You don't hope for what is happening in the present. Hope is about what is ahead of us. It's expecting that something that is coming is better than what it is in the present and what has been in the past. That's what makes hope such an important word for you and I. Because we hear the word hope and we think, oh, there's something better in the future. My relationships are broken, but there's reconciliation. I'm losing a job, but there is another job, right? I am sick, but there is healing. Hope is important because it prompts us for what is ahead. What do we hope for? The second part talks about the convictions of things not seen. So it is not only about the certainty of what is ahead, but certainty of the things that is above us, not seen. I like to say this to explain that part. Faith is the eyesight of the human soul. Faith is the eyesight of the human soul. There must be an ability in you and I to see beyond the material world. To see beyond what's going on right here, right now in this room. There are things happening in the spiritual world that we must be able to see it. See, we have a soul that we don't see it, but we know we have it. It's not about the ability to see what is here. It is also ability to see what transcends us, what's beyond us. And faith allows us to come to the understanding there is more to the reality than what we can see with our natural eye. Faith has this unique power power under God to receive from Him spiritual truth. that comes with the ability to perceive what God is doing in your life and around you. Pastor Sam, this is crazy what you're talking about. See the spiritual. Yeah, there's a story in the Bible that really, really shows us the example of that. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. I think this verse really explains, like, gives us a glimpse of what this looks like, right? So, in reality. So, it's going to be up there for you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and 18 is the ones that I'm going to read. For you to get the whole story, you got to read from 8 to 23. But here's what's going on. Elisha had a little confrontation with the king, and the king didn't like it. So Elisha was back home with his servant, and the king was like, guys, go get Elisha. Bring him dead or alive. I want this guy because I'm going to teach him a lesson. So Elisha is back home, and so here's what happened. When the servant of the man of God, when the servant of Elisha rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. When they woke up, guess what? The king had his army all around the city, and the guy looked at Elisha and said, Elisha, I think we're in trouble, buddy. I think we're going to die today. There is no living in this town, buddy. There is people all around it. Have you ever felt that way, though, in your own personal life? You're going through a situation in your life, and you look, and you're like, oh, boy, I am surrounded, and I'm not leaving this place before I die. I am going to die right here and right now. It might be a relationship. It might be in your workplace. You just had a little conversation with your boss, and things are not going well, and you can see that you may gonna lose your job, and the security and the comfort of a home might not be there no more. So you feel like, I am surrounded, and I think they're gonna get me this time. Might be sickness. Might be something that is afflicting you right now. The news is not good. And you look and you're like, oh, boy, I don't think I can beat this one this time. Elisha and his servant found themselves in a pickle. And the servant said, alas, my master, what should we do? And then Elisha comes to him and said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I love that statement. Don't you love that statement? I love that statement because, like, I can see this guy's face, right? He's Elisha and the servant, and he's, like, all panicking and freaking out. He's afraid, right? Do not be afraid. That means that the guy was afraid. He's afraid. He's probably peeing his pants right there, right? He's like, woo, I know we're going to die today. Please don't let us die today and all this. And Elijah goes like, hey, don't be afraid, man. Bigger is the one who is with us. Those who are with us are more than those with them. And I can see the guy looking at Elijah and he's like, dude, what did you smoke last night? Did you drink something? Like, it's just me and you here, man. There's a ton of people out there. Can I say this? Fear and unbelief keeps us from God's best. Can I say that? Fear and unbelief keeps us from God's best. But faith is different. Faith delivers us into God's goodness and God's best for you and I. And Elijah knows that, and he tells the guy, listen, you gotta be kidding me, man. Can you not see what I see? Next part. Then Elisha prayed. I mean, I can't tell you the importance of prayer. Do I need to tell you the importance of prayer? When we pray, the power of God comes down. So if you haven't felt God's power in your life, I'm going to give you a suggestion. Start praying. Okay? Because when we pray, we connect to the heart of God. And when you connect to the heart of God, man, things like this happens. Look what happens, right? And Elijah prayed and said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. The guy was blind, right? You think that Jesus, you just read about open the eye of the blind in the New Testament? No, let me tell you, The guy was blind too, right? There's a different kind of blindness, a spiritual blindness that we suffer from often. So the Lord opened his eyes. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And what did he saw? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Whoa. I couldn't see the guy's face. Now I was like, whoa, what? I got to back up because it's full of people around here now. You know what? Oh, whoa, Elisha. He's starting to see beyond the natural, to seeing the supernatural things of God. And so many times in our lives, we're so focused on the natural. And God is saying, I am all around you. Stop being afraid. Stop giving in to the enemy because I am your defender. I am your shield. You just need to hold on. And I'm between you and your enemy. What is it that is afflicting your life that's going to destroy you? Remember, God is between you and that. Hebrews 11, faith, it is assurance of things of the future, things that you don't even have the eyes to perceive it. God is a God that is with you and for you. And the author of Hebrews, he goes on for the next 39 verses to give you example of that by describing people's lives. And I think he does that to assure us that for us to understand that faith cannot exist only through thought and feelings. I want you to write this down, please. And remember always, faith is a verb. It is not a thought thing. It is not a feeling thing. Faith is a verb. And the author of Hebrews go through chapter 11 and describe people's lives. It is not a fake thing. It's a reality thing that must be realized through the word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. I have it up there for you. Romans 10, 17 says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Jesus. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Jesus. So many times we lack faith, it is because we are not spending time on the words of Jesus. You can't separate the word of Jesus and faith. Just doesn't go together. John Calvin says this, the same word is the basis whereby faith is supported and sustained. If it turns away from the word, it falls. Therefore, take away the word and no faith will then remain. The fact that the only way you will have faith is if you hear the word of God. I want to go through this last point. I didn't even get to do this in first service, so you are lucky today, because I have a little bit of time still. There's a third point that I want to make, is that it is the whole word, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. We are all going through very difficult times in our lives. It is my life, it is not easy. Your life is not easy. Our lives are all messed up. There's different things afflicting us. So I think it is appropriate for us to stop for a little moment and to ponder about life. Right? We need to, I think since we are talking about faith, I think we need to, today, that it would be appropriate for us to consider the nature of our faith. Not only about the nature of our faith, also I think we need to stop and think about the object of our faith. As you read Hebrews, and you reflect over the life of the people that he has listed there. There's one life that it always impresses me, is the life of Abraham, right? It always amazes me. Because the life of Abraham says this, true faith does not demand answers. True faith does not demand answers. And that's what Abraham's life is all about. The guy never asked God for an answer. He just did what God asked him to do, even when he couldn't understand it. See, we don't need faith when we have all the answers, do we? When we have all the answers, why do you need faith for? Why do you need to hope for something in the future? Why do you need assurance for a better future? Why do you need these convictions in your heart? You don't. You already know it, right? Isn't that the whole point of faith? We need faith when we don't have all the answers. That's when faith is useful. We need faith when the way ahead seems unclear and intimidated. When answers are hard to find. Faith is trusting in someone who has the answers we lack. And the only one who can give you the right answers is God, because He's the one who knows everything. I was just the other day dealing with my dad. He goes to the doctor and he has cancer, and the doctor's like, well, you know what? Let's come back 3 months from now. This is a guy who should know things, right? And I'm not picking on doctors. I understand. I'm respectful and I understand what God is doing through your life. It's bringing healing to us, so I'm all for doctors. But it's an example of here that sometimes not even the experts have the answer for it all. This is what I'm trying to say. Me, as a pastor, sometimes people come to me all the time, right? Pastor, you're a doctor, right? Yeah, I'm a doctor. Give me a knife and I'll show you. You're a doctor, aren't you, Pastor Sam? Yeah, and they come with an answer. I'm like, I don't know the answer. Sometimes not even the experts knows the answer. But sometimes because of pride, we try to invent things, and then that's when we get in trouble. Anyways, my dad goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, come back in 3 months. We're going to check it out again in 3 months. And I was like, Dad, I'm so sorry, man. I live in America, and I know that cancer can be an intimidating thing. Like, you got to check it out, Dad. You got to check it out. You cannot wait 3 months. You got to go check it out today. So you're going to do all the scanning and stuff like that. They do a biopsy. They get the biopsy out, and the doctor's like, yeah, no, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do the surgery or anything like that. We don't even have to do chemo or anything because you're great. And I was like, Dad, I got you, buddy. You got to listen to your son and my wife too, and your daughter-in-law. You have to go check this out. You got to take it out. If it is there, you got to take it out. Well, after a lot of fights and stuff like that, not fight with my dad, fight with the insurance and all this stuff in Brazil, he was able to get it out. Stage 4 about to spread. Stage 4 about to spread. Right? If we're trusting someone who has the answer, then the doctor, then my dad in 3 months, probably right now, would be spread with cancer and have nothing to live for. Maybe. Right? But because we trust in someone else who has all the answer, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because God, He convicts the heart. I don't know anything about cancer. I'm not a doctor, and all that I know is all wrong. But I know that God was convicting my heart and my wife's heart and my brother's heart and my sister's heart to make my dad go get the surgery. I didn't come out of that because I have expertise. No, it's because I'm praying to God and asking, God, my dad has this and this and that. What is it that you recommend? And God's like, I recommend that you force him in taking that out. Oh, Pastor Sam, you crazy. That's why you're a pastor, because God speaks to you. He will never speak to me like that. I have one thing to say about that. Try it. Just try it. Just try it. If God speaks with bald guys, I am pretty sure He can start. He speak with some pretty good hair-looking people out there. Just try it. You won't lose nothing. You have everything to gain. Maybe the reason why I hear from God is because I try listening to God. And faith is trusting in someone who has the answers. And God is the one who has the answer. He is the expert of life. He gives life. Can we trust God even when the way seems so strange and so unclear and so contradictory? Can you do that? Can we do that? The Christian faith is something that is ridiculed often because people say this is a blind thing. You know, they are all wrong. The Christian faith is not a blind faith. We have seen. We have seen the Lord, and we love Him, and we trust Him. And because we have seen Him, because we love Him, because we trust Him, we have this answer from the inside out, not from the outside in. We trust and we obey, even when we don't understand. Even when we cannot see the finish line. I often I believe we find ourselves wondering this. Will I trust God when the way isn't clear, or even when I do not understand it? I wonder about us. We always wonder about this. Will I joyfully submit to God's will, knowing and trusting that He is good? Is my faith deep enough to say, I don't understand it, but I know God is good and He's in control of my life? Is my faith in the outcome, or is my faith in God? And here's why Abraham, I want to finish with this. That's why Abraham was so amazing to me. Is that after asking God for a son for so long, God gives him a son. And as soon as God gives him a son, the kid grows up and they get all to build all these memories together. And then God says, now get the kid, go up the mountain and sacrifice him for me. Uncertain, unclear, contradictory, messed up, flat out messed up. Wouldn't you say that? It's like giving ice cream to a kid, and as soon as he's going to lick it, you say, whoop, nope, that's mine now. Doesn't that how I feel? Here's the thing about Abraham. For Abraham, his faith was not in Isaac. It was not in his kid. His faith was in God. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:17 that while he was walking to sacrifice his kid, Abraham was considering how God would take him out of that. He was not focused on the bad. He was focused on the triumph. This is what 11:17 says. He considered that God was able even to raise his kid from the dead. Abraham, as he was walking, he was not complaining and cussing God. And no, he was not. For 3 days, he walked with his kid beside him to go up into the mountain to sacrifice the kid. And he was considering this. God, I know you're good. I know you're faithful. I know the circumstances is not good. I know you asked me to do the impossible. And I'm going to do it for you because it's out of obedience. But man, I know of your goodness. I know of your protection. I know of your provision. And I'm considering, I'm thinking, I'm filling my mind with who God is and what He can do for me. Up the mountain. His trust was never in Isaac's life. We misread that all the time. We're thinking that Abraham is looking at Isaac like, I know you're going to live, son. No, 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 no. He's like, you can die, but I know that God can raise you from the dead. His faith was not in the outcome of the situation. His faith was on God, who could bring the outcome to his life. Where are you at? Is your faith in the outcome of the situation, or your faith in God, who can bring the outcome? Is my faith in the outcome, or is my faith in God? Abraham could lose Isaac without losing his faith. Isn't that what it's all about? So we ought to rise up our shield of faith. And we ought to remember that God is a God who is for you. It's a God who is to protect you, to keep you safe. We ought to occupy our minds with God and His ability. We are told in the Hebrews that Abraham made up his mind that God could and would raise Isaac from the dead. Things hoped for and things not seen. Let me ask you this today. What is that hope for and that unseen that you are waiting for God to bring into your life. What is it? I want you to remember that God remains, God's promise remains, and your trust in God will remain if every time you face the enemy, your enemy, you raise up the shield of faith. Here's God's promise for you and I. Let me pray. Jesus, there's no one like you. You're the Alpha, you're the Omega, which means you're the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Father, so many times we're so focused in getting the answer when the answer is found in you and you alone. Father, so many times we're worshiping the outcome when in reality we should be worshiping you. So many times we are afraid and living in fear because of the outcome. But reality is that we ought to be trusting in you and you alone, because you are the only one who can bring the right answers and the right outcomes to our lives. Faith is trusting in someone who has the answer. So if faith is trusting someone who has the answer, I am choosing to have faith and to trust in you and you alone, because you are our creator. You know exactly what we are going through, and you know exactly how to take us out of that. This morning, I know that your people are struggling. We all have struggles in our own personal lives. If that is emotional, financial, spiritual, physical, professional, psychological, I know that through you, who knows all the answer and knows how to apply the answer, I know that through you we can be healed and being made new. Father, help us to be assured of better things ahead, but to see that you are surrounding us to protect us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.